Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Reality check. Reality check. Sounds like a test. Well, we're going to go there. I'm not the cute, sweet kind of talker. I'm like, let's dig deep. Let's talk about the garbage. Let's get into it. Let's get real. So, excuse me. That's just the way I am, because I think that that's where the work is. That's where the transformation is. We have this thing in spirituality called spiritual bypass. And it's where we just deny that anything is bad, anything's wrong, and, you know, we're great, everything's great, and the universe loves me. Yes. And the codependent version of that is, let me just tuck everything away and pretend it doesn't exist and everything's fine. So there's two levels of everything's fine, the universe has my back. One is, yes, that's always true. And the other one is, I'm using it as an excuse not to deal with my garbage. So let's go a little garbage digging, shall we? We're going to talk about what it is in our inventory of realities that is okay and is not okay. Where do we stand? Then we're going to talk about the transformation. How do we get out of those states and those realities and the result? I started learning about metaphysics at 18. And my first teacher taught me cause, activity, effect. We talk about cause and effect all the time in this teaching. The activity, the application is where the transformation happens. But our awareness is really the key to all of our spiritual understandings. There's so many levels and layers of awareness. That's why you can read something very simple at one age or one stage of our development and be like, oh yeah, I got that. Years later, oh, that's so profound. So the more simple we can keep our thinking and our observations, the deeper it can go. It's almost like it's a doorway to infinity, a doorway into deeper understandings. When we move from our heart from our head into our heart, then we can really have a full understanding of who we are, where we're coming from, and why we do the things we do. In our heart is where all of the emotions are. Our hatred, our self-loathing, our fear, our insecurity. So sometimes we just cut that off because there's too much pain in our heart. And we jump into our head and we're thinking, 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 thinking. Any thinkers in here? Uh-huh. Science of mind. Yeah. So in the spiritual practice, when we can calm ourselves down, then we can move into our heart and take a good look. What's in there? Where am I fooling myself? What am I lying to myself about? So we're in a collective community here. It is now safe to look inside and see the ugliness. And it's not really that ugly. The work I do is subconscious work. And when we go into the subconscious, me and my clients, we find parts of us that we've just ignored completely for years on end because we didn't know what to do with them. There was some kind of crisis or some drama or some terrible thing that happened. And as children, we don't know. We don't have tools. So we get locked into time and space and we just shove it aside and carry on. And every once in a while, a little knock in our mind saying, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And we'll end up dating the same person over and over again, or getting to a certain place in our job, and then that blows up in our face, or, you know, we'll see patterns. So when we look inside, we can start looking at our patterns. Raising our awareness will bring us to a place of choice. In the world, in your world, let's go to your home. Open any closet. Is it packed? Do you have to kind of back out of the way in case something falls out of it? Do you have to dig for stuff? Is the floor visible? So when we think, okay, this is an inner reflection, outer reflection, our closets are cluttered, overstuffed, packed. When we take a look at that, we can say, oh, what's going on with me that I'm keeping this? And why am I keeping these ideas? So, one day, I have a part that says, well, one day. I'm like, one day what? Is for our awareness to ask those parts inside of us, one day what? One day there's going to be a national emergency and I'll need to provide sheets and blankets and towels for my whole neighborhood? Really? Why do I have so many? And women, we have underwear for like a month and a half, right? What are we going to do? In case what? In case I need to wear three pair at the same day? Like, in case what? Why do we do that? And makeup, ladies, how much makeup do we actually use compared to how much makeup is in the drawers? So we're kind of like being a victim of something or other, because we only use in clothing 20%. So if you go to clothing experts, they say we use about 20% of our closet. And the other stuff is in case what? In case we get invited to the ball. In case what? Or the shoes. Everybody has too many shoes, I'm sure, because it's wonderful. Right? Right. Right. I'm in the territory now. So how many shoes do we have that they're only good for 4 hours walking into the restaurant and out of the restaurant? Otherwise they're painful. And how many shoes do we wear every day, no matter what? And those are our two pairs of shoes. And then the 30 pairs of shoes are just in case. So why are we keeping these ideas just in case, just in case? We keep a lot of ideas that have been handed down generation after generation. Let's look at food. That's a big one because we can hide out in food like nobody's business. So we say, yeah, I'm carrying 5 extra pounds. Well, that was probably 15 years ago you're carrying 5 extra pounds. And if we just keep kind of moving on in a direction that we're in, the 5 turns into 10, turns into 15. So if you think you're just carrying 5 extra pounds, maybe take a picture of yourself in your skivvies or your bathing suit, and that's a reality check. I just did a program called Whole30. Because I was carrying what I thought 10 extra pounds, but it was much more than that. And I was doing it with 3 friends of mine. So it's basically no sugar, no alcohol, no dairy, and no carbohydrates. So you're eating whole foods, fruits and vegetables, proteins, and natural fats. There's no canola tree, right? So some oils aren't even real. Most of the packaged food has been killed. Anything that was alive has been killed and destroyed, flavored, and we're like, yum, these chips are great. So on all of that garbage food away. I had a pack of 3 friends who did it with me, and I talked to other 3 friends, and they did it too. So it was myself and 6 people. And with the support for each other, we were able to do it no problem, really. So years of excuses and denial and avoidance and it's not that bad and so what and whatever. And then 30 days with commitment with a format. So that was the difference. This is the yes pile. This is the no pile. Stick within that parameter and get some support. That's what we're doing here. We are in support. And these are the things to think about. And these are the things not to think about. And there's the framework. So when we can get some framework behind us and we can get some support from others, we can do incredible things. When we move through our ideas around food, when we really start looking, why am I eating this? You know, why do I go to the buffet and pile my plate so high when we're barely even hungry? So sometimes we have social anxiety. Oh, I'm with a bunch of strangers. If I eat, I'll feel better. Or if I drink this alcohol, I'll just feel better. So what? Everyone's drinking. We have social pressures. In our animal nature, if we're not fitting in with the group, with the herd, and we go outside of the community, then we can be rejected. And now bad things can happen. So if a cute little gazelle wanders off, she's lunch meat. So she better stay inside the group. So when we're leaving our religions or we're saying, no, I'm not doing that anymore, or mom and dad, you're complaining and I don't do complaining, I'm on my spiritual path, we're leaving the community. We're leaving outside of our normal references of this is the way we behave. So when we're socializing at a party and we're not eating all the food there because we're on our spiritual path, then people are like, eat, eat, eat. But we're trying to be conscious. We're trying not to get scooped in to the mass consciousness. There's also a greed. And I know we're not greedy people. I know a lot of people in here. So we're not greedy people. But inside of us, when there's food around, just like greed comes up. Like, oh, yeah, food. And you're like, oh, food. And then, but in the voice, you're like, food, eat the food. And then how many of us, we don't even realize, have been raised with generations who have had devastation around food. Great-grandparents who have come and lived through the Depression, where they had a potato, or parents who have lived during the war, where they had to stand in food lines. So they have that, and they were raised by that, and then we're raised by that as well, and we don't even realize it. My father used to eat so fast, so when you're sitting at a table with someone eating fast, everybody eats fast. And we would always ask, why do you eat so fast? And he's like, when I was in the army, they had to eat fast, or if you're from a large family, maybe your grandparents are from a large family, and you have to eat, you have to grab the food because your other siblings are going to grab it first. So we just carry stuff down and we don't even realize it. For us to pay attention and say, why am I doing this? What's motivating me to have this big pile of food on my plate? Why am I eating so much? And why do I go in the kitchen and eat things at midnight? Or why? So the food is a really great way to do our spiritual practice of awareness. Why? Why am I doing this? What's going on here? When we overeat with sugar and carbs, it gives us an effect. I'm really understanding our chemistry. Even when we go to do something that makes us feel happy, we're going for a chemical hit. When we go to a scary movie, right? Why do we go to scary movies? Why do we go to scary movies? It's because we're bringing some stimulation into our world. So there's another layer to look at. How am I stimulating myself? What is the path of avoidance that I'm binging on? We binge as American society on distraction. Facebook, problems, conversations on the phone, talking, TV. Like so much of our lifestyle in this American culture is distraction. Distraction from what? Silence, connection, honesty. Really feeling our emotions, the ugly ones, the scared ones, the frightened ones. If we haven't resolved things in the past and we think, oh, they're just in the past, I'll just leave them there. So what? The subconscious is always talking. And if something's back there, it wants to get out. It wants to be cured. It wants to be resolved. And it's coming through. In our food, in our closets, in our choices. We do a lot of avoidance around relationship. There's a teaching that I follow, and they talk about filial piety. And in the Asian cultures, they're like, yes, of course. In the American cultures, we're like, what does that mean? And it's respect for our parents, appreciation for our parents, serving, duty, even reverence for our parents, great gratitude. How many phone calls do we give our parents? When we do prayers, if our parents are deceased, how often do we bless them and give them gratitude? So my dad's passed, and I still talk to him. I still ask him questions. And for my mom, I call her like five to seven times a week. Just check in, how you doing, listening to her. And before that teaching, once a week was like too much. Because we had stuff in the past that I hadn't resolved. So when the filial piety came up in my life, I was like, oh, man, another thing to work on? I'm busy. This spiritual path is a lot of work. And it is, but the reward is so great that we don't have to worry about doing the work. Because every time I move into a piece of work and I get the result and I do the work and I see peace, love, happiness. So the conflicts with my mom, I finally resolve them. And now I want to give her time. Now I want to listen to the stories of whatever. I want her to know that I love her and I appreciate her and I'm not mad at her anymore after many, many years. The grudge that was inside of me was eating through my heart and causing me not to like my own self. So when we resolve our parent issues, because that's mainly it, I believe, and I've, from my practice, have noticed that we get married to or attracted to our mom, our dad, or the opposite of either one of those. So check out, you know, what you're being attracted to. Why? Because we're still trying to resolve those issues. We're still trying to connect to what that is, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So if we're raised with abuse addiction or, it's really sad here, this one breaks my heart, neglect. So if we're raised with that and we haven't really resolved it, then, this person, they will do a great job at neglecting me. I really like them because this is quite familiar. And then a few years later, we're like, wow, what am I doing? So the awareness, what am I doing? The awareness of, wait a minute, this looks too familiar. Wait a minute, this is very, very comfortable. It's moving it through that. So that's in our parents, regarding our parents, being aware of how we treat them, how we feel towards them, if we're pushing them away, if we judge them. So this exercise we're doing is not about judgment, because judgment is usually there's some negativity already brought into the word. I would judge at court because you did something wrong and now you're getting judged. What degree is your punishment? So no need to judge ourselves, because that'll inspire a part. We don't need those kinds of parts. We have enough of bad stuff going on in our head all the time, all this negative chatter. So we want to eliminate that. We want to work with those people. So we're not here to judge ourselves, but to discern what's in my best interest. What's the highest choice I can make for myself at this time? And then detachment, not the emotional, or the self-pity. Now let's do an inventory of our feelings towards ourselves. Not good enough? That's the universal one. I don't know why. We've been given a gender, a family, gifts, a home, an identity, and low self-esteem. Not good enough. I don't know where that comes from. The closest theory I have on that one is that we have an animal spirit and a human spirit, and there's a dance between the two of them. So in this teaching, we also talk about dualism quite a bit. Some teachings are like, I'm the human being and God is outside. Well, God is outside, but in our teaching, we say God is also inside. So that's the spiritual part of us. But we're also flesh and bones. We're also generations of being on this planet. We also have a very animal nature. So animal nature is fear. I mentioned greed already. Worrying about being kicked out of the group. So seeking approval all the time. Wanting to fit in. These are the ideas that we work against. So we think we're doing fine, but if we really dug in and looked into our subconscious, which fears are motivating our actions? Which fears cause us to work so hard that we deny ourselves our reality? We deny ourselves pleasure. We deny ourselves spiritual connection. Which roles are we too busy playing where we can't be our human self, where we have to perform? Which fear behind that? When we assess ourselves and really take a good look, then we can break it down, lay everything out on the table, and understand what's going on inside of us. And the distractions, the avoidances, those are the keys. When we're in front of Facebook and la 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 being entertained like children, then okay, are we relaxing? Because that's a great way to relax. Or are we distracting? Is there somebody else in the house that we could be connecting with and we want to avoid them? Those are the kinds of things to ask ourselves, to really be compassionate with ourselves. So the transformation now is, how do we change that? And that's through journaling. A great way to get real with ourselves is journaling, because it's us talking to us. And sometimes it's our terrible parts talking to the rest of us, and sometimes it's our higher parts talking to the terrible parts. But at least there's conversation. Mastermind is a great thing to do. When we're in community and we're saying, hey, I want to work on these things with myself, and our friends say, yeah, you got that, or okay, take it a step deeper. Uh-huh, well, you've been saying that for 5 weeks and you haven't moved an inch. What do you want to do about that? So accountability, a small group of accountability. And it could be business-minded, spiritual-minded, just life stuff. Three or four people. It's a lot of fun. And then subconscious work. Myself or other people who are doing the subconscious work. That's where the stuff is buried. Traditional therapy is not working these days as much, because it's just speaking from our mind, from our consciousness. So we're always evaluating and looking at things, but we're not really in the depth of it all. So we want to go deep. In this teaching, we want to go deep. We want to have awarenesses greater than the ones we're operating from, because we're only operating from what we know from the past. How do we expand? How do we go deeper? How do we go further? It's through a greater understanding. So reading and looking at new ideas is good, but it doesn't really throw us in there. Having difficult conversations with our loved ones, that'll throw you in there. Learning nonviolent communication, that's another teaching, and that is fantastic. Very difficult, but that's an excellent one to do. Morning practice. There's a no-brainer right there. When we start our morning in a spiritual practice, whatever that looks like for you, that wins our day. Because that will give us silence. It will put us in center, and it will open our hearts into receptivity. Receptivity for that which is greater than us to come through. When we do our spiritual practice, we will get clairvoyancy, clairaudiency, our intuition increases, our subtleness is increased. Nature. Nature is a super easy one too. When we have our feet on the earth, there's an energetic connection. Rubber, silk, and leather block energy. That's taught in our pranic healing. So our shoes are made out of rubber and leather. So we're blocked from our connection to our planet, our Mother Earth. Outside time is great. There's prana outside. Prana's life force energy. If you ask any child, how come we're alive? Where do we get energy from? They'll say the sun, the plants, the earth, the air. And that's where life force energy really is. Spending time outside gets us centered. It kind of clears the air, all the fog in our mind, all the distractions, all the electronics. When we look at nature and we see the shapes of nature, something happens inside of us that calms us down, because we've been looking at nature for centuries. It puts us back in center. So anything that we can do, any practice that we can do to get us in center, anytime we're off of center, it's more noticeable. So if our path is straight and hard and narrow and we're on our path, great. It's work. But if we're all way off in the woods and lost, totally not even knowing who we are and what's going on autopilot, then these practices can get us back in center. And now the results. When we do the work, when we're diligent, when we have accountability, when we say this is the framework. So when we look at our life and evaluate it and say, okay, here I am in my family relationships. Here I am in my self-care, self-love. Here I am in the way I express myself through my home, through my body, through my words. Here I am with my goals and aspirations. And just looking at all of our categories and being very honest and real with ourselves, then saying, okay, I want to work on this month. and making that commitment and having accountability a partner. Okay, great. Then we can start cleaning up and going over and cleaning up and going over. Years can go by with those 20 pounds or self-denial or self-loathing. Years, 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 years. So when we say, oh, time flies, it's because we're not tracking it. When we're on our spiritual path, time doesn't fly because the day is really long. Do you remember when you were a child and it was summer vacation? And it was like the whole day was full of adventure because you weren't on a schedule, because it was play, because it was imagination, because our creativity was in full bloom. Then we're in the moment. I see time like a timeline here. We live from the past because that's all we know. So from behind us, every part of us, from all of our life, the joyful parts, the dark parts, the miserable parts, the I can't do this parts, they're all moving behind us, and that's where we're seeing from. So the more we can clean up from what's behind us and get rid of that, the less influential they are as we're making our choices moving forward. So when we do these practices and keep cleaning things up, layer, 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 meditation opens us up to receive. And when we're doing some certain meditations, they come and cleanse us. There's a wonderful meditation called Twin Hearts Meditation, and that is a cleansing meditation. It cleans us off. So the cleaner we can be, the purification is a part of our spiritual path. So we think path, but I think purification. We're there. We're beautiful. We are all children of God. We just forgot. We've just been told otherwise. We've just believed the programming. So now that we're waking up, if we can deprogram in whatever practice we can get a hold of, that's the answer. And the result is harmony. The result is waking up in peace. Not all the negative thoughts and all the worries and all the this and all the insecurities and everything like in your mind was first thing. No, just peace. So nice. So nice to wake up in peace. And then choice. When we can feel that choice, that's powerful. Time. So the timeline. So there's the past, there's the future, and here in the present. The more we can spend in that moment, it's almost as if those lines go out into infinity like a starburst. Because if we're totally in the moment, we can get what's going on emotionally. We can get what we're perceiving. We can hear what other people are telling us. That being in the moment is so rich. Being still is so rich. The further I go on my spiritual path, the more quiet it is and the more still I am. But the more still I am, the more I understand is what's going on in so many layers. And it's profound sometimes. Just to sit, pet my cat, and be no mind, no thinking about anything. There's layers and layers and layers. It's just profound. And I feel connected. And my days are very, very long. But yeah, days turn into years. And then all of a sudden I look back and I'm like, whoa. Wow. The more awake, the better. The more choice we have. And then harmony. So when we're in harmony, when there's a lot of stuff gone from us, we're floating. And we're moving with the vibrations. We're moving with the universe. Synchronicities. Serendipities. They just keep coming and coming, and it's so wonderful. Gratitude is the best practice we can do spiritually. Just be grateful. Something terrible happens? Okay, I'm grateful for this challenge. I don't know how I'm going to get through it, but I'm grateful for the challenge because I know for sure I'm going to get through it. Because guess what? We've gotten through everything that has come into our life. We're still here. Divorces, bankruptcies, car accidents, sicknesses, deaths of loved ones. Look, we're all still here. We made it through. By hook or by crook, or by something wonderful, by help and support, we've made it through. So anything that comes in front of us, we can know, I'm going to make it through this. With support, with understanding, with confidence, with belief in ourselves? We can. So that's coming from a centered place. When we're centered, we're more open to love. Self-love, love from others, and especially giving love. It's so easy to love everybody around us, strangers, children, older people. When we love, we get filled even more with love. Love is like a coming down through our crown chakra and out of our heart chakra. So the more we give, the more we receive. It's an endless story. Same with tithing and service. Service is such a wonderful tool. When we feel bad about ourselves, serve. It'll clean things up in no time at all. So we have tools. We have many tools to use. And if you notice, many of them are about connection. If we stay connected, we can move through. So in our life, when we understand our reality, when we do our reality checks, we check our food, check our closets, check our thoughts, the negative thoughts inside of us that are so rough on us. And we can say, hey, man, give me a break today, will you? I love you. Worry. Negative prayer. Not today. We don't do that anymore. Stop wasting my time. And move through, move through. Use our tools. The accountability, journaling, doing our subconscious work, community, prayer, meditation, and expect the results, the cause, the activity, and the results of peace and harmony. So this is the truth in my life, and this is the truth in your life, and so it is. And now we're going to move into a spiritual mind treatment. Unfold your bodies. Let the tongue float to the roof of your mouth. Opening up our hearts. And understanding for sure. There's something greater than little old me. I'm an aspect of that creative force energy. It's undeniable. What is beating my heart? How come my lungs know how to breathe? Who teaches the birds how to fly? Something is going on. There's an intelligence. It has the quality of love. And it's powerful. Therefore, I too must be intelligent, full of love. Deep down, I know it's there. And powerful. I can achieve. I can reach my potential, for sure. I have tools. I have framework. And I have support. And if I don't have support, guess what? I can just ask for it. I can ask the universe for it, and I can ask my friends and family for it. And it'll be there. We're all in this together. Spiritual path is lonely, but in the meantime, if you look to your left and look to your right, it is supported. Feel the love in your heart that wants to come out, that's just bursting, pushing at the obstacles, the grudges, the insecurities. Let the love wash over those things. Wear them down. Love the obstacles. Love the insecurity. Love the blocks. This love is endless. It's powerful. Why should we deny ourselves that gift? And when we're clean, when we're pure, the greatest expression is creativity. When we're creative, we are in the zone. Creating business, creating a great meal, creating a wonderful day, creating a new outfit. Creativity. Seek creativity within, and we will be in the zone. The flow. So see yourself creating something for yourself, for your loved ones. What are you creating? Feel into that creation. What does it feel like to create? New ideas keep coming, flowing. Feel the power behind that creative energy. Why do we create? To share, to express. To share what? To share love. To express what? To express love. We are God expressing itself as individual people. Each thought, each kind word, each hug, each smile is an expression of that divine love. It's yours. You have the power to choose that. It's mine. We can own this. So let's own it together. What better do we have to do? Love, love, love. Feel it. Love conquers all. It melts all. It forgives all. So we take our inventory and we keep it in front of us, checking in our reality and loving every part of it. Gratitude, the magic turnaround. Feeling gratitude now. Becoming gratitude itself. We release this treatment and these ideas into the universe like seeds blowing in the wind, expecting more to come, expecting the fruition. Knowing all of this is so wonderful, and knowing we are very beautiful. And so it is.